Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. It is indeed a blessing that we can be here. Welcome also to those who have joined us for worship via the live stream. We pray that God may bless our worship, that you may give him glory, and also that we may receive the spiritual food that we need as we hear the gospel about Jesus and what Jesus does for us as sinners. Both this morning and this afternoon, Reverend Van de Acht, Emeritus Minister from the Free Reformed Church of Byford, will lead the worship service. Consistory has the following announcements. Next week, Sunday, the Lord willing, we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper in the morning service. We've been informed by the Free Reformed Church of Armidale that Reverend Carl Vermeulen from the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs has accepted the call that they extended to him. Before we begin the worship service, let us praise God with the singing of Psalm 52, verse 6.
After Photom Salutation, we will sing hymn 5, the verses 1 and 2. Lift up your heart unto God. As congregation, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from seven spirits are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. We now with all respect put ourselves in the discipline of the holy law of the Lord, and let us test our lives on it as on the rule of thankfulness. And after the reading of the law, we respond singing Psalm hymn 5, the verses 3 and 4. God speaks all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not have other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. I'm a leak in prayer. Almighty God and everlasting Heavenly Father, your eternal perception is incomprehensible for us, but we are the recipients of your eternal plan of our salvation. According to your counsel, it was fitting for Jesus Christ to die so that we could receive salvation and eternal life. And today we may honor and glorify your name. For thanks to your wisdom, our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death and the powers of hell and destruction. And it is beyond our comprehension, we, sinners by nature and offenders of your holy law, we are made alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we wholeheartedly thank you for this gift of life. We are grateful that you will care for us and that you will give us what we need. And today we may listen to your marvelous work of our salvation so that we may remember your grace towards us and to be encouraged in our daily life to live close to you in all we do. We acknowledge that we are to blame for our sinfulness and transgressions. Therefore, in all humbleness, we ask you to forgive us our sins for the sake of Christ's death. Let us also die to sin and work with your Spirit that we rise up to a new life. Give us the strength that we bring forth fruits of righteousness and show a God-fearing walk of life. We thank you that you have given us many, many blessings. Every day we may face your mercy in our health and our prosperity, and we realize that your mercies are new every day, and that your mercies are from generation to generation. And it's always important to reconsider our actions and walk of life. And you have called us to be serious about that in our daily self-examination. Give all of us the strength to live according to your holy word, so that we never forget your precepts and are willing to show our thankfulness for our salvation you give in our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the preaching of your gospel all over the world, that people may come and glorify your name. And we strongly commend to you the mission work, especially also the work in Papua New Guinea, so that your people are encouraged to seek and find their salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. And give that we do not leave the mission work to those who find their daily calling in preaching the gospel, but that we all, by our godly walk and talk, may win our neighbors for Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we may rely on your faithfulness. Give us the strength to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your work. The teachers and students at our school may still enjoy another week of holidays. Surround them with your care and give them an enjoyable time. Give those who will attend the Eucalypt camp this week and also the youth camp an enjoyable time, and surround those who need some special attention with your special care. We commend to you all who are sick and have to suffer. There are a lot of things we can't understand, but you ask from us that we trust you in your guidance and love. Your wisdom and understanding is of a different level than ours. Your wisdom and guidance is divine, and therefore give the strength to trust you in everything and to accept the health problems out of your hand. Father, we thank you that you have revealed more and that in the end you will heal our lives completely. Give them the strength to see upon you in the sure knowledge that you will not leave your children, but will give them strength in every situation. We commend to you our brother Yitzhak the Hope, who has been not very well and is experiencing a lot of pain. Give that there can be some improvement and that the pain may disappear. But first and foremost, give him, yes, give all the elderly in our congregation, that they may look up to you in the sure knowledge that their lives are in your hands and that you will give whatever necessary. Give patience in the difficulties of life and give a firm hope in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his resurrection, we have the proof that he will restore life, even handicapped life. In our weaknesses and handicaps, you will show our strength. Our life here on earth is a precious possession, and it is very special when you bring two people together to serve you in marriage. With brother and sister Tim and Tonya DeVos and brother and sister Rob and Natasha Old, we look forward to celebrate their 30th and 25th wedding anniversary, respectively, coming Tuesday. You brought them together and have richly blessed them. Give them and their families everything necessary to serve you in the years to come. There is a lot of grief and pain in this world. We heard of an accident at the Lake Road. Lord, two people passed away, and some of the members of the congregation were aware of that and knew them. Lord, give their families what is necessary also to cling to you and to your promises. We commend to you, brother and sister Greg and Rose Vandenberg, brother and sister Des and Sharon Hirema, and their families, relatives and friends, to you, and pray you for strength. Now the Hirema family have to prepare themselves to bring the body of their deceased brother to the cemetery, especially because he left church and became an unbeliever. Lord, there are things we can't understand. But give that during this difficult time, the family may look up to you and may lean on your wisdom, which goes beyond our understanding. Be there with your care in every difficult situation, and give that people may rely on you. Surround your people who are persecuted because of their faith with your loving care, and grant them all the strength to persevere in faith. Show your power among the nations. We confess our powerlessness and helplessness in the face of disasters and problems. Father, give willingness and strength to find solutions. Show your compassion to the powerless and the hungry. Demonstrate your power towards refugees and victims of war, acts of war. Continue your loving kindness and your righteousness to the upright in heart. We longingly wait for the day of Christ's return. Help us to be prepared for his return on the clouds of heaven. Until that time, Lord, make us faithful in everything. To you, the alone wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. We will read two passages from Scripture. The text is chosen from Leviticus 19, so we'll read that chapter together, and after that we will turn to the New Testament, to 1 Peter 1, and after the reading of Scripture we will sing together Psalm 99, verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. As said, we start our scripture reading in Leviticus 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourself any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God. When you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, or on the day after, and anything left over until the third day shall be burnt up with fire. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is tainted. It will not be accepted. And everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned what is holy to the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyards bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the son of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. If a man lies sexually with a woman who is a slave, assigned to another man, and not yet ransomed or given her freedom, a distinction shall be made. They shall not be put to death because she was not free, but he shall bring his compensation to the Lord, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before the Lord for his sin that he has committed, and he shall be forgiven for the sin he has committed. When you come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, then you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. It must not be eaten. And in the fourth year all its fruit shall be holy, and offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year you may eat of its fruit, to increase its yield for you. I am the Lord your God. You shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. You shall not round off the hair on your temples or mar the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourself. I am the Lord. Do not profane your daughter by making her a prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution and the land becomes full of depravity. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out, and so make yourself unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of length or weight of quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules, and do them. I am the Lord. Let's then turn to the New Testament, and we go to the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter 1, and we start reading verse 3. There the Apostle Peter writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what portion of time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, You shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartiality according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile will inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. As I've said to you, the text for this morning is taken from Leviticus 19, and then especially verse 2, where we read, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." In response to the preaching, we will sing as our Amen song, Psalm 145, the verses 1 and 2. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, people do not talk about the holiness of God anymore. The subject never comes up in the news. It is not discussed at the hairdressers. It is not a topic one overhears from a nearby table at a coffee shop. People do not talk about the pure, majestic holiness of God. People were talking about God's holiness back in 739 before Christ, however. The king that King Uzziah died. Uzziah had been a good king. He was righteous. The Bible says he set himself to seek God and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And as a result, his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But then Uzziah became proud of his accomplishments, and pride led to his downfall. He decided that because he was king, he could do whatever he pleased. One day he went to the temple and rushed into the holy place to burn incense on the altar. The priest saw what Uzziah was about to do, and they followed him into the holy place. And they found the king with a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense. And they confronted him. Uzziah was livid. Who did the temple staff think they were ordering the king around like that? And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And immediately the king was forced to leave the temple because he was unclean. And Uzziah remained a leper until the day he died. He had to live in a separate house. He was excluded from God's presence because he had violated God's holiness. And this clearly illustrates that you, as baptized children of God, cannot use your life that belongs to Jesus Christ for unholy purposes. As God's children, you have been baptized, and therefore in Christ you have been washed, cleansed, and forgiven. And now, belonging to Christ, you are called to be holy, even as he is holy. Holiness. That is our theme this morning. You have been called to holiness, and you have been called to be holy like God and his Christ. As our text puts it, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in this way I must summarize the message of our text. God's holy congregation is called to lead a holy life. And we look at the motif of this calling. We have a holy God. And we look at the reality of this calling. God has a holy congregation. Therefore, in short, God's holy congregation is called to lead a holy life. The motif of this calling, we have a holy God. And the reality of this calling, God has a holy congregation. Brothers and sisters, for most Bible readers, the book of Leviticus is as barren and unknown as the dry, trackless wilderness. Most readers prefer to skip quickly from the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 to the book of Joshua. Why should they bother with ancient laws? After all, the church today lives in a completely different situation as ancient Israel did. And so, to spend time reading Leviticus seems to be an unprofitable exercise. And accordingly, a lot of people do not give much attention to Leviticus. Wrongly so. For it must be recognized that Leviticus was and is one of the most important books of the Old Testament. All the legal and cultic instructions of the book form the content of the covenant. And the whole book lays the foundation for the New Testament teaching about the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The presence of the Holy God brought them together as the people to God. He dwelt among them as their covenant God. And this is also the reason why God established a covenant with his people. He wants to restore his holiness here on earth. And therefore, the main concern of the book of Leviticus is how God's people would live a holy life now that the holy God dwelt with them, and how they could maintain a relationship with him so that they could enter his holy presence to worship him. For they are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, a holy nation. And to understand why God's people are called a holy nation, it is important to realize what it means that God is called the Holy One. After all, that is the ultimate reason to live a holy life. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And did you notice the phrase that is repeated over and over again in Leviticus 19? 15 times we hear God saying, I am the Lord your God. And you know, in Hebrew language, that word Lord, with all capitals, is Yahweh. And what does his name mean? It means that he is the one and only God, that he is and was and ever shall be, that he is the author and sustainer of life, that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Almighty. He is the king. He reigns and rules all things. And that name Yahweh especially identifies him as the God of the covenant who saves his people. He is the God who continually intervenes to save. God did this in Egypt. He did it at the Red Sea. God did this with Gideon and the Midianites. Remember, with 300 soldiers, Gideon defeated an army that was beyond counting. God did this with Jericho. Her great walls came tumbling down at the sound of a shout. Over and over again, God saved his people. And this saving God, Yahweh, identifies himself to us as being holy. I, the Lord your God, am holy. Quite often the people explain this in the way that the Lord is without sin. He is pure. There is no moral blemish, no defect, no stain of wickedness within him. He is morally excellent and ethically perfect. As the Holy One, God hates all sin and evil. And of course, all this is true, as we hear in Scripture. Think of Job, where he says, "Therefore hear me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should do wrong." He is God, and has nothing to do with sin and evil. But if you limit God's holiness to his moral purity, you just miss the point. God's holiness tells us much more. Remember the prophecies of Isaiah, where he is called the Holy One of Israel. And in what context does he receive this name? And in what context does he give himself this name? In the context of the big deliverance, the Exodus, the liberation of the church. "Fear not, you won Jacob, you men of Israel. I'm the one who helps you," declares the Lord, "your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the one who helps you," declares the Lord, "your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." And you also find this elsewhere in other parts of Scripture. Hosea 11. "I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God, not man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come with terror." And in Psalm 77, verse 13, we think, "Your way, O God, is holy." And which way we are singing about? It is God's way of deliverance. It is God's act of liberation. Verse 15, "You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph." God's holiness is the principle of the deliverance of Israel, God's church. God's holiness is the big driving force behind God's act of liberation, behind the deliverance out of Egypt, out of Babylon, yes, out of the house of all bondage and sin. And therefore, as soon as the holiness of God is spoken about, everything starts moving. God goes his way through the history of this world, from the creation of this world till its completion. The Lord acts as a trailblazer in the deliverance of his people. As a deliverer of his people, he reveals himself and is praised by his people as the Holy One of Israel. And you'll find exactly the same in the song of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. "After her prayers were heard in the Lord of hosts, by the Lord of hosts, and after she brought her son Samuel to Shiloh," that is to say, after she brought her son into action at the forefront of God's coming kingdom, "after this, Hannah sang the praises of the God who went with his glorious way of deliverance with her and his people. My heart exalts the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies. Because I rejoice in your salvation, there is none holy like the Lord. For there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. And because he is holy, the Lord will judge the end of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And then Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, joins in with Hannah when she gives thanks for and prophesies about the great deliverance which is coming in the great Son of David. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He is the Holy One. He goes his way. And on his way, he takes Israel. He takes his church with him. But that does not mean that the children of Israel can use him as their tool. Just as the other nations have their gods to do their dirty work, the Lord is the Holy One. He goes his way of deliverance. It is the way of his love. But it is his sovereign love. He is holy because he wants to glorify his own name. And therefore he works salvation. But in all this, he is fearsome and majestic. God's holiness is the driving force of the deliverance of his people. And as the Holy One of Israel, he is the God of redemption and deliverance. However, as the God of redemption and deliverance, he holds his own ground and does not stand for any nonsense. And therefore, very shortly after Hannah sang the praise of the Holy One of Israel, God's people trembled for the Holy One. Namely, when the Israelites were not willing to accept the way the Lord wanted to give his deliverance. And then the Lord struck 50,070 men of Beth-Shemesh. And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God?" On his way of deliverance of his people, the Lord maintains his own position. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That is to say, remember that I am the Holy One, and that I want to glorify my own name in the deliverance of my people. And remember that I have chosen you to take you along on my way to deliverance. And for that reason, I call you a holy nation. On my way towards the eternal deliverance, you may come along and serve me in everything you do. And therefore, the children of the Lord are called saints, the holy ones. Not in the sense that they are without sin, but that they are included in that marvelous work of redemption, and that they may submit themselves to the holy will of the Lord. And the holiness of God becomes the motive to serve the Lord in holiness. Yes, even the little ones among us are sanctified, are made holy in Christ, for the Lord takes them along as well, and in all of them the Lord will glorify his name. And that is what the Apostle Peter stresses in his letter. Remember that our God is the Holy One. Remember, brothers and sisters, he who called you is holy. He has chosen you to come along in his work of deliverance, Through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, you may share in the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to the living God and make your life subservient to the glory of God in the deliverance of his people. In his holiness, the Lord has made you holy. And therefore, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Or as a different translation says, set apart in your heart Jesus as Lord. At its very root, holiness means to be set apart in some special and exclusive way. And this is the way God wants us to deal with the world. To begin each morning by saying, Lord, you are holy. You have made me holy. Therefore, I set apart my mind for you today. I set apart my passions. I set apart my eyes. I set apart my ears. I set apart my motives. I set apart my discipline. Today, I set apart every part of my body, mind, and spirit to your will, so that my will is conformed to your will. Think of how your lives would be lived if that were your daily prayer. And this brings you to the second aspect, the reality of this calling. There is a famous prayer of Augustine. He prayed as follows. Give what you command, and command what you give. And this prayer gives a clear insight in what happens. God does indeed give what he commands. The holiness which he gives, he also requires of his people. God himself sanctifies sinners. He takes them along. I, the Lord, sanctify you. And in the New Testament, we hear that Jesus Christ is made our sanctification, our holiness. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her. Our holiness or sanctification is a gracious gift of God. We do not lead a holy life in order to become saints, holy people. On the contrary, because we are saints, holy people, we must henceforth lead a holy life. And it is for this reason that the book of Leviticus comes with a lot of rules. Because the Israelites were God's covenant people, through his divine election, they were obligated to conform to his will by obediently keeping his commands and abstaining from pagan practices. At first glance, it seems as if this chapter gives a variety of laws without any structure. On closer study, however, it is clear that the phrase, I am the Lord your God, is repetitive and brings a clear distinction and a division. In it, it becomes clear what holiness should look like. For every Israelite had to conform to God's holiness by revering parents, by remaining loyal to them, and by providing for the poor, the verses 3 to 10. For the same reason, God's children have to treat their neighbors with proper love and care, the verses 11 to 18. God's children are in the world and not of the world, and therefore they have to remain separated from pagan practices. Verse 9 to 31. They have to conform to the God's holiness by living a life characterized by fear of the Lord and love for others, manifested in kindness and justice for all. The verse 32 to 36. And yes, in the epilogue we hear that all God's children have to live their entire life conscious of their having been redeemed by the holy God. And you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules to do them. I am the Lord. Verse 37. God did not want his children to mix with the world, not with the Canaanites, nor with the heathen of our society. God's people were not to intermarry, to worship other gods, or to interweave their lives with the practices and values of the people of Canaan. And to press this point home, specific separation commands were given that applied not due to people, but also to plants, animals, and evil clothes. Israel's daily life, you see, was to reflect God's principle of separation. For what is written in Leviticus finds its actuality in the quote the Apostle Peter makes in 1 Peter. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who is called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Through God's grace in Jesus Christ, God's children have been set apart from the rest of mankind. Through Christ, they have been set apart as God's special people, his own possession. And God calls them to live a life that is distinct. Yes, that is different from that of other men. And God calls them to a life of purity and obedience. They must not again conform to the world, but as the redeemed of the Lord, they must be transformed into the image of God. Holiness is a requirement of all those who will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covered man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And this is what Peter is expressing in the words of our text. As he who is called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, holiness has its price, brothers and sisters. Those who walk down the path that leads to eternal life have to make many sacrifices. As Christ once said, the way is easy and the gate is wide that leads to eternal condemnation. But the way is hard and the gate narrow that leads to eternal life. But Peter teaches us to look not just at the path, but to where the path leads. He tells us to look into the distance. Look to the grace that we received at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And therefore Peter tells us, don't fix your eyes on your present situation. Otherwise, you might well go astray. Keep your eyes focused on the future, on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then you will walk a straight line without turning to the right or the left. Why? Well, remember that the redemption and the freedom as a result thereof are not cheap. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. If ever we needed any motivation to be holy, here it is. If ever we need any incentive to live our Christian lives in fear and trembling, here it is. We are to be holy because of the costly and precious blood of Christ. That blood is so precious and so costly that to do as we please is to violate it. To do as we please is to cheapen the work of Christ on the cross. To do as we please is to spurn a precious life, a perfect life. No person conscious of the precious blood of Christ can do as they please. God's grace is costly. Grace cost the life of God's Son, and the life of grace turns out to be a life of devoted and disciplined love for God. Do you want to be holy? Then you must begin with Christ. He is the root and beginning of all holiness. And the way to be holy is to come to Him by faith and be joined to Him. Christ is not only our wisdom and righteousness, He is also our holiness, our sanctification. And without Christ, we can do nothing. Holiness is His special gift to His believing people. Holiness is the work that He carries on in your heart by His Spirit. No, holiness does not come from human effort. Parents cannot give it to their children. Man cannot produce it himself. A minister cannot give it. Your holiness comes from Christ. And it is the result of your fellowship with Him. It is the fruit of being a living branch of the true vine. Go then to Christ and say, Lord, do not only save me from the guilt of sin, but send the Holy Spirit and save me from the power of sin as well. Make me holy. Teach me to do your will. Abide in Christ. He is the physician to whom we must daily go. He is the manna which you must daily eat, and the rock of which you must daily drink. His arm is the arm on which you must daily lean. You must not only be rooted, but also be built up in Him. The Apostle Paul was a man of God, a holy man. And what was his secret? He was one to whom Christ was all in all. He was ever looking to Jesus Christ. I can do all things, he says, through Christ who strengthens me. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is lived by the faith of the Son of God. Let us go and do likewise. If you are in Christ, you realize that your hands and feet and minds and bodies that belong to Him cannot be used for unholy purposes. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Father in heaven, we are thankful that we are allowed to come to you, the Holy One, the one who is without any fault, without any sin. Yes, without anything that gives limitations. You are the Holy One, and therefore you are the one who saves your people. You are the one who made us your holy people. And now, Lord, we ask you to give us the strength to live as your holy people. In everything we feel, in everything we think, in everything we do, give that it is clear that we are separated from this world as your holy people. And give then also that others may come to share with us your holiness. Lord, give us in everything true thankfulness for what you give to us. Lord, we are weak people, and therefore we urge you to give us your Spirit so that we become more and more holy, and that we may serve you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have now the opportunity to set your gifts apart for the mission work in Papua New Guinea. And after that we will sing as our closing song, Psalm 89, the verses 1, 6 and 7. Lift up your hearts unto God, receive the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.